Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. And we are burdened with glorious purpose to discuss Loki episode 5, the penultimate episode. Episode 6 will be coming out next week. We are recording this, folks, on Wednesday night, on release night. Lewis was an early bird today and got the episode in, like 7 a.m. or something. I have an hour carved out of my work calendar, so if my boss is listening, that is the Ken R. Busy portion of my calendar. It is at 3:30 every Wednesday. That is my showing time. Lou, your reactions real quick before we get into the thick of it.
Yeah, I think that's it's a good question to bring up, like when do we watch these episodes? Yes. I'm naturally an early riser, so I do a couple things in the morning, and then I get to a point where I log into my computer and I kind of clear out the emails. If there's a morning meeting, we take it. But then I know professionally they would not want to hear this, but it's one of those things where it's like, if you just let me watch it very early on, I won't think about it for the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's fair.
And if I don't watch it, then I'm just going to be, you know, harboring the entire day too. And as the person that runs kind of the social media account, like, you do have to be in early to get in the conversation,
you
try
do.
To put some
and,
stuff
and
out
can
there.
Can we all give Lou?
Oh, thank you. We're at 11 followers clap. Now. So if you're listening, MCU for Dubbies on Twitter, we're trying to make more of a presence, promise not to put heavy spoilers out early in the morning, but
and listen,
we are growing.
I've known Lou for a long time. I have always found Louis to be quite a funny guy. But I've never seen Lou more in his element than he is on the MCU for Dummies Twitter account right after an episode comes out. The tweets are, like, just so obscurely hilarious all the time. And I don't quite understand at what point in your brain they are. And if you've got, like, a stand-up routine in there, too, that you just need to, like, pull out.
No, I mean, the method of the madness goes, you try to put some, like, normal, like, generic things out there of your thoughts, and then I just dive right into the conversation, just Loki hashtag, yeah. And then the episode of hashtag, so episode 4, episode 5, and then you just feel out what people are saying. And I try to never be mean to people. I try to say funny things. So someone the other day was like, what would you do if this happened, and I just said I would poop myself, and it got a bunch of favorites and such. And, you know, we had a tweet about hoping the timekeepers weren't just the Mandarin, and that got, yes, like over 50-60 favorites on an account that only had 10 followers at the time.
Yeah.
So people like affirming their own ideas, right? So I just put out a tweet about Richard E. Grant being amazing. We'll get to that in a bit, but everyone knows Richard E. Grant was amazing, so that's a very, yeah, easy thing to just favorite and such. An alumnus of the podcast, good old Days Johnston, tweeted at them earlier today asking what they thought about Richard E. Grant, and I finally have received my response not but 2 minutes ago.
Oh, this is live.
At the good old Days, give Days a follow. Says, quote, "One of the most unabashed actors of our generation, this is Richard E. Grant, while simultaneously not being of my generation at all, and Loki was no exception." Kudos to Days Johnston, who was on the Richard E. Grant train very early on. Kudos to you.
Yeah, let's dive in. First off, Lou and I are not Star Wars cosplaying right now. He is not the Sith. I am not the Jedi. We had like a weird wardrobe change right at the jump of the show, and now we're in like this weird dark versus light scenario.
Well, let's tell. I was wearing our college's t-shirt, a dry fit throughout the day that I was just lounging around in. Ken was wearing a corporate dry fit.
Yeah.
Probably from
some
one
sort I got
of
from a
game.
Volunteer activity way back in the day.
Exactly. And here on the MCU for Dummies podcast, we are not ad affiliated and therefore will not use
all
our bodies.
All of this space, by
for
the way,
advertising.
Up for grabs.
Yes. We're two very large chested men who have perfect real estate room for ad space. If you are listening, hair product commercials, men performance enhancement for intimate relations.
Yes.
Any meal service plan that you're faking health, but it's really high in sodium, send our way, and we'll pump those out. We'll pump those
anything
out.
Anything you got. We honestly will plug it all. And we'll use it too. That's the worst part with us. Anyway, all right, that aside, Lou, episode 5 of Loki, I think most folks would agree, was very actually... All right, here's a thought. Very similar to the Lamentous One episode a lot of character building, right? A lot of potentially emotional moments between Loki and Mobius and Sylvie and Loki and Sylvie and everybody else, but no real action in the show. There was a lot of kind of a lot of table setting, right? There was some action. Don't get me wrong. Go watch the episode if you haven't yet. You cannot skip it. This isn't like a, you know, you don't just get to skip this episode in the series. But Lou, take me through some of your thoughts in terms of where episode 5 kind of ranks for you in terms of what we've seen so far from Loki and some of the other Disney Plus TV shows, and then how well it did what it aimed to do.
Yeah. Well, first off, you're not a content creator unless you're saying the penultimate episode. Yeah, yeah. I feel like everyone's throwing that out there, and this is a term that I'm learning around this time around. So I guess it has to be said. You already mentioned it. But there was a bit of a disconnect when I finished this episode because I thought it was good, but I also was like, it felt weird. And then I looked at IMDb because I'm an IMDb shill, and it got rated 9.6, and it only had like a couple thousand ratings. Now we're at 6,000, and it's still a 9.4.
Interesting.
So in past weeks when I usually announce this stat, there's usually like 6,000 to 7,000 votes, and on average each show has probably received in 15,000 or so. So we're only a third of the way there, but by the ranking of this episode, everybody is saying that this is the best one yet, and I don't know if that's the case.
Maybe we can talk
about if this was as good as the Nexus event. Sorry, I passed it on to you. But now I get it. Like, after watching some of the analysis and the breakdowns, I'm like, Okay, this was a really good episode. A great homage to the comics. There's so much to unpack here with Easter eggs and stuff too, but I maybe didn't catch it the first time around. What were some of your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I totally agree, actually. I think it was one of those things where you come to a Marvel show, you come to a Marvel cinematic experience, right? And you expect some fighting and some, you know, some major twist and some of this, some of that. This was pretty straightforward, right? I mean, this was, we're in the void, we need to find a way out of the void, and we need to set the table for what's coming next episode. The reason I think it works so well, and I think you're right, it is one of those things where it takes a minute, right? It takes a minute to maybe settle into it and really start to think about the episode as a whole and some of the character decisions and some of the character development that we saw. But there were some real deeply emotional moments in that episode, right?
Yeah,
and we can kind of pick at the scab a little bit there. But the hug between Loki and Mobius was like just gigantic, right? Like that was a huge moment, right? Loki and Sylvie, our Loki, I should say, there's a million of them, but our Loki, right? Our variant Loki, having that moment with Sylvie where they're both saying, man, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here, but I think I like it, right? Like, and it's just like these big moments of like big character motivations and emotion that's going into it. And him, and Loki talking about how much he believes in Sylvie, right? Like all these other Lokis talking about how much everything they do is a waste of fucking time. All they're here to do is survive. They've all had plans before this, that, and the other. And then our Loki comes in and talks about how much he believes in Sylvie. When's the last time we saw Loki, our Loki, believe in anything, right? Like when's the last time he had that type of feeling? Never, right? Our 2012 Loki never did that, right? So this is huge, and so it takes a little bit of time. I agree, Lou. I think it takes some sitting on it and a little bit of thought, a little bit of introspection, if you will, and just kind of sitting with the characters that we know as they've been laid out and saying, wow, those motivations and those like real deep leaning emotions are big players in the story, leading into what will be an always action-packed finale.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Before we get further into this, I don't know if you had an agenda, but I like the format we did last week where we kind of go through each character. If you are new to the MCU for Dummies, we are under the impression that you've already seen this episode, so spoilers, whatever.
Yes.
You were here for the analysis, you were here for the witty banter, you were here for the broad-chested men on the show. So that's, I think, what we should give the listeners this time around. And I would propose that we start with the variant Lokis first.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Oh,
what did you think?
Not,
let's start with boastful Loki because he had, the quickest exit. here. Yeah. But what did you think of your boy Boastful Loki just bragging that he stole all the Infinity Stones?
I think it's hilarious. What did you think about it? I think all of those Loki characters are so like perfectly chosen as those like main four. I guess we have to include Crocodile Loki, Alligator Loki.
Yeah, Gator Loki. Yeah,
Gator Loki. But like, what? There was no. I think in my favorite scene so far of the Loki series, and there's been a lot of really good ones, and this is definitely not the best scene. It's just probably one of my favorites. Is Boastful Loki turning on his other Lokis, and then Loki turning on him, and then his clan of Lokis turning on President Loki was like maybe one of my favorite. I laughed like out loud, and it's one of those that you know it as a content intaker, right? As somebody who watches TV and watches movies and laughing at them, you don't really do, right? You do that thing, the Bo Burnham joke, right, where you exhale out of your nose, right? You that was funny, right? But you never laugh. And I laughed at that scene. I thought it was so hilarious. Yeah. Boastful Loki, just like such a, just hilarious. It just, all of them were. But I also love his Mjolnir so much. The damn train rail and the, it just is so incredible. Love it. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And I think this episode, I plan on doing a full rewatch in one sitting on a weekend, mm-hmm. and I think I'll understand this episode more because I'm so anxious to see like where the story's going, and I think it's different from Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and WandaVision that I don't know where this is heading, and I'm much more invested in this show because of the quality, I think. So I think when I rewatch the entire series, this one will really stand out, and that scene will be amazing, to your point.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Lou, I was thinking very similar. I sometimes, and I don't mean to pull back the curtain too much on the MCU for Dummies or on who I am as an individual, but I sometimes, like, when I shower, I, like, have these conversations between you and I, and, like, I start to formulate some of the points I want to make.
Like a variant and, Ken, or...
Right. Like, when I'm cooking dinner, I'll be like, Lou, that was actually a good point, but here's what I thought. And, like, I'll you know, be making stuff happen. I was having this conversation with myself, but with you in my head earlier, about how much what you just said resonates with me when we talk about Renslayer, which I think we will in a bit. We'll put a pin in that. I have a whiteboard here.
We'll get there quick.
And I want to make the parking lot. But I absolutely believe that this show, and we've talked about this as a whole with WandaVision and Falcon Winter Soldier and now Loki, the difference between movies versus Disney Plus TV shows. And I think this episode was a perfect example of all of the things we've said about that. And Daze Johnston talked about that as well when they were on the show earlier. I think this episode is a perfect encapsulation of everything we've talked about when it comes to the difference between Marvel storytelling movie versus TV show. Lou, I know how much you love Richard E. Grant as classic Loki, but let's talk about Kid Loki for a second.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go with Gator Loki.
That kid is a badass.
Yeah. Kid Loki's going to be really fun. Kid Loki, good introduction to the series. Much speculation that he'll be part of the Young Avengers, and I think that's going to be great because you're going to have Billy and Tommy from WandaVision that are probably going to be your crazy bunch. And then there's a couple of leading ladies on the show. And then you're going to have this just like, I feel like he's going to be the kid that just that curses.
Yeah.
And like tells adults to go like F off. I know like Disney would never do that. But the kid Loki, I think, is going to be the heartthrob. And I think he's going to be amazing when the Young Avengers comes out. I think will be an absolute treat to watch. And was already cool in this episode. I mean, he was basically like the appointed king of the immediate variant circle Loki.
Well, yeah. I mean, he killed freaking Loki, man.
He killed Thor. Yeah, that's that was insane. Amazing too. He was like, I killed Thor.
He just dropped it too. And I was sitting there, yeah, so literally cool. Mouth open up.
He's got his weird iPad where he can like open up portals.
I love it. I love it.
Was strange too. So yeah, I think Kid Loki is definitely a winner from this episode. Really looking forward to seeing what that's going to be in the future. It would behoove of us to mention Frog Thor or
you mean
Throg or
Throg.
Throg, yeah, who is stuck in a jar in the middle of the earth trying to access a variant version of Mjolnir who somehow got into this void. So really crazy. Big fan of Kid Loki. What do you think about him?
Kid Loki, all, like I said earlier, all of the variant Lokis that we met were hilariously awesome. Yeah. President Loki, which we don't have to talk about, was hilarious.
Was that a disappointment, though? Like, were you expecting more of it?
You know what? I think if this was an 8-episode run, this episode could have been torn into two parts, like right. with a side quest with President Loki. But the fact that this was kind of a table setter for episode 6, and this was maybe like a little bit more of a comedy type episode just to get everybody to calm down, leading into to the final battle, be it whatever it may be. I understand that it wasn't, but I would love a short. Like if they put out like a Disney Plus short about like President Loki and his gang running around in the void of Lokis, I think that'd be hilarious. I would have loved if he was around more, but I thought it was so perfect how hilarious it was that he was there when his fucking arm got bitten off by Gator Loki.
Loki did that. We know Gator Loki ate the cat, cat he wasn't supposed to eat. I also just watched this Easter egg video where, so when Richard E. Grant, which we can get to next, classic Loki creates the diversion so they can escape. Kid Loki diversion and Gator Loki diversion do some sort of reenactment of the get help that Loki and Thor do in Ragnarok.
Yes, yes.
Where they're dragging, where he's dragging him and then he throws him into the people too.
Classic.
So, really just great scene there. The Richard E. Grant, yeah, which is just insane. I feel like the man was on some sort of like hallucinogen drugs. He has the most insane like visuals of his face. Like, there's a scene like towards the end where they're trying to enchant the big cloud, whatever his name is, and Richard E. Grant just looks like he's out of his mind.
He does.
Like, they really give him mushrooms and they're like, "Here, go do your skit." Where he's like pulling up from the ground and his like mouth's open, or just like, yo, this man is crazy.
Yeah, no, he went all in. I think it's, I don't think anybody's talking enough about his costume. Like, that is a critically acclaimed actor, like a long career of doing incredible things as an actor, as an artist. Just like a good guy to have around your set and to have in your cast and crew. Like, Richard E. Grant is somebody who people want to work with in their careers. And this guy is wearing fucking pajamas.
Yeah, with a big diaper.
Like, yeah, he looks so insane.
And his headpiece is crazy. Like, I was looking at that, I'm like, that thing's really on.
Yeah.
That thing's really fascinated onto his head.
Yeah. No, it's insane. I mean, all the credit to Richard E. Grant, who I know our Twitter account is blowing up about right now.
Yeah.
On the MCU for Dummies account, go give us a follow, but also talk to us about Richard E. Grant, because we are stans. We are so, Grant stans at the moment. Let's talk a little bit about his motivations here, though, Lou. He kind of gets sucked into it, right? He is convinced by our variant Loki about how important Sylvie is and how important it is that they take down the TVA, and he goes through and does this crazy Asgard astral projection and disrupts the cloud monster, whose name we should probably look up since we continue to talk about it. So Lou, tell me what you thought. I mean, you met Richard E. Grant for about 8 seconds in the post-credit scene in episode 4. Did it live up to everything, not only Richard E. Grant wise but character wise in episode 5?
Yeah, he was great. I mean, coming into the show, you knew you were gonna get Tom Hiddleston, you knew you were gonna get Owen Wilson, and pretty much figured that they were going to take on the show. And then you get Sophia DiMartino. I think it was probably a question of like how long we were really going to see her at the very beginning when we saw Lady Loki, and we kind of figured that this show was going to be about the Lokis. And I think it's been an absolute treat that we were probably going into episode 6 with Sophia still being a main character there.
Yes.
She's been phenomenal. Then you get Richard E. Grant, who's coming into the fold, and it seems like we might get another episode with him. He's listed as 2 episodes, but it's questionable if he perished at the end of episode 5, so that is still yet to be decided here. But just like an absolute presence in that 1 hour or less than that, probably like 40 minutes or so.
Yeah.
He plays the variant Loki that is in charge in the beginning. Boastful Loki obviously has this whole little conspiracy. Kid Loki is the one who's like in charge and is mainly just concerned with drinking his high C. But the classic Loki seems to be the one that, you know, can be swayed and is kind of down on himself. He's appears to be the oldest one there, and he seems to be the most conservative of the bunch given his character, and it's kind of in this like head frame, like, we are losers, we always lose, we'll always be alone, you know, get used to it, bud. And he mentions that really important part that New Rockstars has been pimping for a while about how he faked his death from Thanos in Infinity War, and he's just basically just been like floating around in space. So there's that whole part too, and if that's true, then that's an awesome character and potential flashback for episode 6. But really just great. Like, if this is all we're going to get from him, amazing stuff. And I thought it was really good and advanced the storyline, and kudos to the casting. Richard E. Grant was phenomenal. Star of this of episode 5 for sure. Biggest winner, MVP, take it home.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it was perfect. And I don't even know if I want to see him again. I think his death, whatever it may be, at the end of episode 5 would mean like a lot to the character of Loki if he were actually to perish. Yeah. One of those things where it continues to be proven to him, right? Even as we saw him post Avengers, the first Avengers movie, post New York, right? Grow into the character that we saw all the way through Infinity War. We saw him do that over the course of however many years and however many movies and character interactions, etc. But we're seeing the lessons that he learned in that time frame be taught to him by people like Mobius, be taught to him by people like Sylvie in this timeline. And our variant Loki is turning into the Loki that we remember, who was, you know, the honorary Avenger, right when Thanos had attacked the Asgardian ship and said that they had a Hulk on board, right? So it's fascinating to see. And classic Loki being that person who experienced the same exact thing, right? But took the Loki way out, right? Just saved his own skin. It's just so interesting to see the dichotomy, but also that at some point he can turn into the Loki that we know and the Loki that we love, right?
Yeah.
So those are our Loki variants. Lou, before we get to the two big ones, Sylvie and Loki, who we'll talk about at the end, right? They've got their big mission set in front of them. Let's talk about some of the side folks back at the TVA. Let's talk about some of the TVA guys and gals, I should say. B-15 is alive. We talked about her towards the end of episode 4, kind of went missing in that fight, I suppose, kind of got like knocked out maybe, and wound up in a jail cell. Slipped on a banana peel, got hit by a blue shell, whatever you want to call it. She winds up in a jail cell being interrogated a little bit by Renslayer there, after Renslayer escapes from Sylvie at the beginning of the episode, and Sylvie prunes herself into the void. So, Lou, tell me a little bit about your thoughts of some of the TVA folks. We start with, where do you think B-15's character's going? Do you think anywhere, or you think she's just locked in the cell?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. And to clarify, the purple monster, his name, now I can't remember now.
Eliath.
I just had to listen to a video of somebody saying, "Oh, you went on your
beach." I googled Loki cloud monster, and
yeah,
that came up.
So let me write down the phonetics. Eliath. Okay, cool. B-15. Last week, I predicted that B-15 was going to be the one that was not captured by the TVA. And was going to be the one that basically kind of like walked us down the runway and kind of got us more details on what's going on with the TVA. But that was also under the assumption that Sylvie was not going to be joining Loki in the void, and that story would have been kind of like told by first person through Renslayer to Sylvie as captor, and then B-15 would have, you know, found some information. Maybe it's a computer and, you know, we get some imaging of Kang, but it seems like B-15 is going to be Renslayer's aide in trying to figure out who's behind all of this stuff, which feels kind of weird. It just feels like we're not going to get like B-15's moment has come, and I don't know. But
yeah,
I think it also depends on what happens with the entire TVA and all the variants. If there is, like, let's say Mobius does something and kind of clears everyone's name, it would make sense that the B-15 character would be the one that we would see, whatever happens, whether that's like restoring back to reality you know. So I that's how I would pencil B-15 into the plan, that we will get whatever happens to the TVA, the unfolding or whatever,
we'll see it from B-15's
perspective.
Interesting. I don't dislike that I get a little bit anxious about the survivability of some of these TVA folks, right? I mean, we think about it practically, and now I sound like Eric Voss, right, on The Big Question over at the New Rock Stars. Good folks over there. Never met them, but I assume they're good. If, say, they succeed, right, TVA gets torn down.
Right.
Do they just repopulate the world with all of these pruned variants?
Yeah, it seems weird.
Right, like what happens here, right? Like, there's no good next step. It's one of those things like, oh, yeah, we should... it's like the end of Jurassic World, which was a shit movie, right? Like, what do you do, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom? If you haven't seen it, don't see it. I doubt that you haven't seen it because it's like one of the highest grossing movies of all time. Fucking disaster of a movie with some weird clone girl involved. I don't... Anyway, sorry, I worked up there.
Save your money.
I mean, geez Louise. Chris Pratt don't need any more. He was just in Tomorrow War, that also piece of shit. Maybe right, Chris Pratt's
back.
Bad.
Come back.
Maybe,
come back.
Maybe he's bad, right? Like, maybe he's a bad actor.
I don't think he gets hired for the same roles that Leonardo DiCaprio does.
Maybe you should try more. I don't. Either way.
Yeah,
it's like the end of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, right? Where they're stuck with this question of, do I hit the button and let all these dinosaurs out in the world, or do I watch them die, right? Like, what do I do here? Because both answers kind of suck, but only one is like the actual answer. Like, you can't open the gate and let fucking dinosaurs into the world. That's a stupid thing to fucking do, right? Just like how you cannot open the void and let all of these variants go back to their planets, that's insane, right? That's an insane thing to do. So you'd have to assume that all of those variant anythings that are in the void have to stay there forever, right? So I think I'd be interested to see maybe if they attack that. Maybe it's just that storyline's maybe just a little bit too far outside the series. But it would be an interesting one for them to explore, I would think. But when we talk about the TVA folks, again, I've been talking all along, and I know you put it in one of our tweets earlier today. I've been talking all along about I don't see any way out for a Mobius. I don't see any way out for a B-15. Now, maybe I think you might be onto something there where, like, a B-15 could be the one who we see it through, right? Maybe, you know, there's a fight that goes down within the TVA, and Mobius meets his end, and yada, 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 and B-15 is the one who gets to kind of take over from there. And relive her life or get to experience her memories again. But I wonder. I wonder if there's any way out for those TVA folks. I think they might be in too deep.
Yeah, I think B-15 is the how I will classify as the human character. Whatever happens with Renslayer, I think we will see the human side in that exchange with B-15. Because if it was just, I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of Kang. Maybe we get... I don't know. There's like weird stuff going on. There's this story that like Jonathan Majors was approached on like the street corner and somebody said, are you going to be in Loki? And he was like, I don't know what that show is. And was like laughing. So I don't know. Maybe we get Kang. Maybe we don't. But in the event that we really don't, and it's just like this Renslayer, I don't know what to do here. That kind of conversation can't happen, you know, alone. And I know like there's a scene that Mobius eventually returns back to her office and is holding one of those pruning sticks. So maybe it occurs through there. But who knows? Maybe B-15 just gets toast in the first, you know, 2 seconds by Renslayer's goon squad. And, you know, we don't get to see what happens. But
yeah, I'm interested, man. I think this whole before we go off the deep end and start talking about predictions and what could happen in episode 6, let's make sure we hit our points, Lou.
Yeah.
We got to make sure we hit our points. Let's talk about Renslayer real quick. Right quick. Renslayer. There wasn't a lot there with her. And I know I brought up early, I have it in the parking lot here.
Yeah.
Got it in the parking lot. About Renslayer and her character development in this show versus what I think it would have been in the movie. And I think if you took Loki the series and made it a movie, it wouldn't do Renslayer as much justice as they're doing with the show. She is not getting her character colored in as much as I would want, because it seems like she is a huge part of what will be episode 6. And I wish she had a little bit more face time and a little bit more color to her character before we got to episode six. So I will say that is partial disappointment, because what I think is happening here, Lou, is I think Marvel's caught in between. And I don't want to get off too far on a sidetrack. So here, I'll just give you my thoughts. If you want to have a quick reaction, please do. I think the character development that we're seeing for Renslayer is very movie-esque. It's not shaded in a whole lot. She's very clearly a bad guy, right? Like, there's no question about it. She was never not going to be a bad guy. The first time you met her, you said, that's a James Bond villain, right? Like, that's the first thing that came to mind. And they've never shrouded that, right? So at the same time, though, you haven't gotten any indication as to her motives, as to her background, as to this, that, and the other. You learned about her interaction with Sylvie, but that was more from Sylvie's perspective, right? You didn't learn about Renslayer as a hunter. You never learned about why she joined the TVA. She very clearly knows that everybody has got these memories, that all these, you know, that everybody who works for the TVA is somebody who got sucked into it and got brainwashed, right? So why does she know that? How does she know that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all things I'm sure that they're going to address in episode six, but I just wish that she as a character got shaded in a little bit earlier in the show to give all of that a little bit more gusto going into the season finale. So I will say that is a bit of a letdown for me. And I think they kind of are telling her character arc very movie-like, as opposed to the freedom that they had in the show to do a little bit more for her.
But I don't think they're done yet. Loki is the one show that has been confirmed for a second season.
Yeah.
And my prediction from last week, I still think Renslayer is the connection that will introduce us to Kang in Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I don't think we've seen the end of this character in any shape or form. I just looked up so WandaVision and Falcon the Winter Soldier finales were both 50 minutes. Loki, they know they have something good because they released the first two episodes to the media for initial reactions.
Yeah.
And you would only invite the media in if you knew you really had something strong. They know they have a second season. I can't imagine they would. I guess Loki 2 has to come after Multiverse Madness and Ant-Man the Wasp, because that's slated for next year. And they just finished this movie, this TV show. So one assumes that maybe Kang is the villain in Loki season two, and there is some Renslayer here. But, you know, maybe Kang, you just get like a big cliffhanger, and you kind of have to just, you know, wait it out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. And I think all signs are, and again, we don't want to become variants of ourselves. We need to respect the sacred timeline of our show agenda and talk about Loki and Mobius and Sylvie in a second. But really quickly, I think all signs are pointing to Kang being the man behind the mask and sorts of stuff like that. But I would not be shocked if that does not get said out loud next episode, right? I wouldn't be shocked if this ends with there's a guy who lives in the quantum realm who does X, Y, and Z, and that's who's in charge, and we have to go find him, right? Like, I would not be shocked if that's where we wound up. I don't expect to see Jonathan Majors in this show at all.
Yeah, I think they'll save it. One of the reasons why Thanos was so successful is because they were able to tell everybody's stories first and then have a movie that was basically dedicated to telling you the story of the bad guy. And then by the time Endgame came up, everyone was kind of on equal footing because you understood the motives of Thanos and those around him, and you understood everybody else's motives as well as their own individual characters. For Quantumania, this is the third movie that's going to be in the Ant-Man franchise. There's not that much story that really needs to be told to set things up because we already understand the quantum realm and we already understand Ant-Man and Wasp, so it seems like it's a really good movie to kind of play up the Kang backstory and have that be, you know, 50% of the entire story arc, hopefully another 20% for Luis too, because he's my favorite from the MCU. But that's how I think they'll go about it. I think in episode six, there's still that scene where they're fighting in that mansion, weird looking thing. I don't think it's Kang. Yeah. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's Renslayer and a bunch of guards. Cause as we know from episode four, Renslayer is not that great of a fighter. So I really don't know what's going to happen there, but you know, who's to say? I think it's one of the biggest questions that is leading us into episode six.
That's why they do it, Lou.
That's why they do it.
Let's Let's do Mobius, Sylvie, Loki.
Well, wait, what about Miss Minutes? What do you think is the goal, and what do you think happens to Miss Minutes?
Miss Minutes is such a bitch.
Do you like the new Rockstar theory that Miss Minutes is just like this artificial intelligence that's taken from like someone else's soul, and like Kang has like taken that person and basically held them captive as Miss Minutes?
The new Rockstars folk, God bless them. They have a lot of thoughts. I don't know, man. I think
it's this idea that Miss Minutes is a tragic character.
We talked about it in episode one of our Loki recaps. Was Miss Minutes is up to no good?
Yeah,
and what is she up to? It's a great question. Who is she? What are they? You know, what are they doing? Who knows, right? So I think I don't have a good answer. I honestly don't. I think
another big question.
And she was prominent in this episode, right? Yeah. She was trying to find the files, and she was stalling and helping Renslayer do this, that, and the other. I think it's a little bit more of a red herring than anything else. Maybe is just kind of a something to throw you off your throw the scent off a little bit, and make you think that the TVA is more in control than they are. Because I really don't think that TVA is very important in the grand scheme of things.
Red herring.
God, I think I got like a, I don't know, I like a spider egg sack on my eyelid. It was terrifying.
Let's do the last 10 minutes for the big three, Sylvie, Mobius, and Loki, the three best friends that anyone ever had. The big
or is
the
it
big
Lou,
trio.
Here's the question. Is it the three best friends or is it the two best friends? Because one of them is the same person.
Or is it the weirdest threesome that could ever happen?
It's definitely the latter. You're definitely okay, right about that.
But you're like out of the camp that Mobius is a variant, or are you still in that camp?
No, I think he's got to be, right? I mean, everybody who works
a variant of Loki, like a Loki.
Oh, yeah, no, I would be so sad. I would be so mad if they did that. If they do the same thing with Loki, Loki being at the head of the TVA, I'm going to be really upset with that, too.
I think we're past that just because that you got to look on the spectrum of MCU for Dummies. There's new rock stars all the way at one side, and then there's like casual watcher of, oh, let's just see what's going on. You're going to hate this example, but then there's Joe Rogan on the other side who thinks this show is amazing. And there's much more. All of the content like this that gets created is at the new Rockstar spectrum of people that would love to talk about this stuff. But the people that are paying for the show and the subscription, there's much more of them at the Joe Rogan angle that just want to see this show. And I think to have like another Loki be at the end of the tunnel would just be like, wait, what? And it wouldn't make that much sense here.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
I really do think there's a lot of questions at how they're going to end this, because I don't think
I totally agree. And if you ever bring up Joe Rogan on this podcast again, I'm going to quit. So
that's the first strike, but it was the most relatable thing because there are a lot of people that like the show.
I don't disagree with your point. Your point is valid, even though it makes me want to jump off a bridge. How's that?
Okay, fair enough. We move on now. So you think so the three best friends that anyone's ever had, Mobius is not a Loki variant. I think this was the goodbye of Loki and Mobius though. I think we'll see Mobius again, obviously, but I think this was like,
I think we will see, like you said, I think we will see Mobius again. And I stick to my guns here, Lou. I think he's going to kind of go out in a blaze of glory a little bit. I think something that he does. And again, I think we'd all be kind of closing our eyes and spitting on a dartboard with hot tamale juice to guess what's going to happen in episode 6, because it's a bit of a mess right now. You could say anything and I'd be like, all right, sure. I think something that Mobius does at the TVA, potentially to sacrifice himself, because again, I do believe he will perish. I want that on the record. Please mark that down. I think something he does, because he took the temp pad and went back to the TVA, I think something he does will impact the adventure of Loki and Sylvie in a way that positively helps them to achieve their goal, but it will mean the end for Mobius as we know him, and hopefully we get to see a flashback of him on a jet ski at some point. I mean, it absolutely has to happen at this point, right? I mean, there's no way that this show can end without Owen Wilson on a jet ski, correct?
It would be a great end credit scene. I'm just saying, yes. If everybody goes back to variant mode, I don't think we'll get like a Hawkeye reunion with the family. And I know you don't want to even hear the word Hawkeye, especially after I just mentioned Joe Rogan.
How do you keep doing that to me tonight?
But I don't think I agree with you. I think he's going to go out into Blades of Glory, mainly because Sylvie said, what are you going to do next? And he said, burn it all down.
Yeah.
And yep. I think, yeah, like, see, episode 6 is going to move very quickly. I would imagine it's probably going to be in the hour range, but I think they're going to really get to everyone's point very, like, tightly.
I agree.
Mobius, yeah, doesn't make it to season 2, but, you know, is an OG, goes down. And
yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know, no offense to Disney. I mean, Disney can print their own fucking mouse money if they want, but who wants to pay for Owen Wilson for a second season of a TV show? You know, like, I'm not signing that check. And Kevin Feige's got too many people calling for John Krasinski to be in the Fantastic Four. He's got to save his shekels, okay? John Krasinski doesn't come cheap anymore.
Now that he's Jim and he's Tom Clancy and all of this type of stuff. What about so Sylvia Loki obviously have a good episode. They hold hands. Their relationship is progressing. I made the joke on Twitter that my favorite variant was Blanket Loki. It was Loki that wrapped himself in a blanket on a hill, like he was watching fireworks or at the beach. Then he pulls that move that every man who's ever gone on a date where he's like wants to share the blanket but doesn't know how to go about it.
So you know, Luke, you know what variant that the blanket was? That was variant horny Loki, okay? We saw
he didn't know what Loki. To do. He did not know what to do. But the Sylvie character, I think, is one of the biggest surprises of the show because of how the other variants have been treated. I think it's been just an absolute pleasure to watch the character develop over 5 different episodes, too. And it's been very cool. Hoping for a good ending from them. Do you think we get a kiss of the Lokis? Or do you think hand-touching between Sylvie and Loki is as far as he'll go?
Lou, I am so conflicted. I don't know how I feel about it. Part of me loves it because Tom Hiddleston and Sofia DiMartino should kiss. Like, that should be a thing that happens. And we would all be honored to watch it. We'd all be very happy for that. Lou, I don't know if you should kiss a variant of yourself. I mean, it clearly almost caused a Nexus event.
No one's really watching at this point.
Like, so what happens? I don't want to do, like, the slippery slope theory here, man. But what if you have a kid with yourself?
Maybe that's how the alligator comes about.
Like, I don't understand this. I think it's fascinating. I think they're poking at that, right? They want it to be an interesting conversation. And it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how I feel about it. But again, I think we'd all be very happy if Sofia DiMartino and Tom Hiddleston were to make out.
Yeah.
I think we'd all sign up for that, I think.
It'd be a real treat. So I'm putting together some of the big questions and predictions. Big questions for episode 6. What of Renslayer? What of Miss Minutes? Did we get a Sylvie Loki smooch? Would you have any other big questions heading into episode 6 that you think are worth adding to the collection?
I think those are honestly, if you want to put it in like a big three, you know, like what of Miss Minutes, right? What of you, lady? What of Renslayer? What, you know, will they smooch? I mean, that's 3 pretty big ones. I mean, obviously you can say who's at the head of the TVA. Folks, we know that's a big question. Okay. We don't need to write that one down. Okay. Come on. That goes without saying.
We're smart here. I know we're dummies, but we're smart.
Although many would react, I think maybe my last boss, the one who unceremoniously laid me off, would say, maybe you should write it down, Ken, because you're going to forget.
All right, let's recenter. Big questions. You have Mobius dies. I think we both agree that Kang is at the end. Maybe Multiverse Madness needs to get created somehow. But I think, like, one of the biggest disappointing things that people are going to be mad about is the Nexus event that Sylvie created. Like, what of it? What happened? She blew up the timeline, and now what?
Yeah, it's a great question. We haven't heard anything since.
Maybe we go back to it, and maybe Loki and Sylvie do smooch, and then that creates the Nexus event, Multiverse of Madness.
Maybe.
Final scene was just, like, Benedict Cumberbatch at his, like, residency, and he just was like, my God. It was just... Like,
I think we're getting there because we now know, and this is this is something that's been bandied about by a lot of folks in the MCU world, right? We know that Doctor Strange was supposed to be in WandaVision. We know that there were scenes shot with him. He was supposed to be behind the commercials. He was kind of potentially astral projecting himself in that post-credit scene to see Wanda reading the Darkhold and drinking tea. Okay, here's a sidebar. Why do you need to do both at the same time, Wanda? Just take a productivity fucking second. Just get a cup of tea, lady. Relax.
You gotta do both.
So we know that he was supposed to be there, right? And there was a lot of talk during the WandaVision show. Where's Doctor Strange? Yeah. Ah, get on it, buddy. It's right out. I mean, it's just across the GW. It's over in Jersey. You're in Lower Manhattan, dude. Just go. Take an Uber. All right, just get over there. Do what you got to do. There was a lot of talk about that. I understand. He was supposed to be in the show. We now know that. And I do think the decision to cut him was very, very good on the part of Disney. That's number one. We know what's coming out, right? We know Black Widow is in the past. We know Shang-Chi is connected, but it's kind of disjointed right now. Like it doesn't have like a seat within the multiverse conversation at the current moment. And we haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. If it does, then wow, fuck me. But I think it'd be a stretch to say that it has a connection to the quote-unquote multiverse, right?
Yeah.
So those are the next two, right? Then we get Eternals, and we know that that's going to kind of set the stage for some things. But then you get to the big goose, right? The big multiverse geese of what's been going on with all of these shows outside Falcon Winter Soldier, being Spider-Man No Way Home, being Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, right? Those are two gigantic, gigantic world-changing within the MCU, not like outside of it. There's still people who need like healthcare and jobs and shit. So like these movies don't change the actual world.
Right.
So, but like within the MCU, those two films doing all of the things that it looks like those two things are going to do is got to get set up, right? And it looks like Loki is going to set the table for the movie that sets the table for the movie that brings it home. You know what I mean?
I do. And my friend, you should answer your cell phone because it has been vibrating.
Hey, Lou, it's not me. It's the dummy thing. It's going nuts.
All right, well, don't tell me the numbers. We'll just wrap it up and we'll speak offline. But yeah, no, I would echo all of your points. I think those are really good. I laughed at the Doctor Strange not just wanting to cross the river thing because I thought that was funny. But yeah, it should be – Phase 4 is kind of just like a Thanksgiving dinner without the turkey. And you know you're going to eat, but you're just like, all right, let's see what they bring out here.
Yes, give me the lasagna. We're going with Italian grandmas.
Yeah.
We got so lasagna.
We'll see what happens, but last thing, maybe just a minute to spend here. What are your plans for Black Widow?
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. Luke, come on. We're vibing here, buddy. We're vibing. Same page. This is what I want to do here for the last couple of minutes. I want to set the table for the future of the MCU for Dummies for the next couple of weeks because shit gets nuts. We are back to the movies, folks. The MCU is back in the cinematic sphere. On Friday, tomorrow night, I believe, on Thursday, July 8th, or well, I suppose Friday, July 9th, but it's at midnight on Thursday. So you do what you got to do to go see the film. Very exciting times, Lou. I am jazzed. Raise the roof.
Yeah.
Whoop, whoop.
Do you have the tickets yet?
Cannot wait. No, I don't have tickets yet. There are a ton of theaters around me, though, and I'm not too shy to drive. I believe that there are some plans in motion for me to take a pal of mine to the movie on Friday because he helped me build my furniture for my office. And I
That's
owe
great.
Him a little bit more than Domino's. So yeah. I'm going to take him to the film. And I'm very excited to do so. I haven't been to see an MCU film since Endgame. No, I'm sorry, since Far From Home, I suppose. But not Far From Home. What's the second one?
Homecoming.
It is Far From Home. No, it's Homecoming, Far From Home, and then the last one is No Way Home. My apologies. It's super exciting. My plan is to go see it on Friday. We've heard some really good things, Lou. What's your idea? Is the city a movie place yet for you, or are you going to Disney Plus premiere it?
No, I think I'm going to movie it. I just don't know when. I'll probably do day of, because I checked today and there's like lots of availability.
Yeah.
People in the city are so scared to.
So what do you mean day of? So that's a good question. Are you,
I'll just decide tomorrow? The day of. No,
you
I'll just
tomorrow.
I don't think so, but I think I'll just decide like.
Oh.
Like a Friday or Saturday, I'll just go. Maybe okay. I'll go for like a nice Friday matinee.
Yeah, Lou. Like you can't. I will tell you, man. You can't beat it.
Yeah. It looks.
You can't beat it.
It probably will be just fine. Like, I'll be satisfied. IGN had nothing nice to say. They gave it a 6, and they gave it tons of feedback. And then there's, like, wild, crazy comments.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that it's about a woman. I'm sure that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into it. What I would like to do next week when we do our mega episode 6, probably split it up. Hopefully we do a Black Widow a little earlier in the week. We could talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I would like to pick through each of those items that IGN has as our outline. I know they had, like, weird storyline. I don't know. I just go through them and just give our own opinion to them. And maybe we could do that early next week before Loki episode 6 comes
out.
Yeah,
so that's my thoughts. So folks, if you are an MCU for Dummies fan, be on the lookout next week for two separate releases.
Yeah, two heaping piles.
Two heaping piles of dog shit from us. But I mean, seriously though, I don't think it would be a 4-hour episode if we did the two of them together.
Yeah, it'd be a long one.
Loki's going to set the table for some stuff. And we know Black Widow. Listen, we're mourning. We're still mourning Black Widow. We miss ScarJo. We miss her in the MCU. She is dead. And dead sometimes. Lou, if you can name the movie, I'll honestly pay your rent next month.
Take off
and
your
I'm
shirt.
And I'm going to try and do the accent. I'm going to try and do that. Sometimes dead is better.
It's a movie?
It's a movie. And it's a book as well. Written by a famous horror author. Sometimes dead is better.
I don't know. Is it a child
cemetery.
Of it?
Oh, Pet Cemetery.
Pet Cemetery? Oh, come on. Get out of here with that.
It's a classic.
You probably
it's
think classic. The X-Men originals are good movies, too.
Oh man. Anyway, but I don't think dead is better when it comes to Black Widow. We all miss her, but yes. We are meeting Elena Pavlova or whatever her name is. We're still dummies, folks, and we're gonna learn more.
Florence Pugh.
Yes. Okay.
David, off, whatever his name is.
Florence Pugh is maybe one of my top three favorite actresses at the current moment. I don't know if you've seen Midsommar, Lou.
I have not. Would you put her up there with Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah, that was Little Women.
Okay, so you like both of them.
Well,
okay. I'm just asking, Ken.
But listen, Tim is I crush on Tim. Crush on Tim. I don't feel bad about it.
Where'd you take David Harbour out for dinner if you had to like bring him to a dinner place? Where'd you take him? It's gotta be a steakhouse.
Seems like you know what though? I feel like here's the thing. Whenever you ask those types of questions, not you specifically, but whenever you hear those types of questions about like famous people, you're like, yeah, I want to take him to a nice restaurant. They've been to all. They don't want to go to a nice restaurant with
you. I just mean he probably likes steak.
Right. So what I'm thinking is I want to take that guy to a place where he can get meat, but I want it to be like there's a nice hot dog place like 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, I could see that.
I would take that guy to get a good fucking chili cheese dog.
He'd probably like that.
You know, and like a gigantic 32-ounce paper cup soda pop, and he'd get cherry wine, cheer wine. I know he would. And he would love it. He'd have chili all up in his beard. It'd be nasty. But when does he ever get to go get a hot dog? That's the thing. These folks need to live. They want to go get a hot dog.
Yeah. Maybe get him some French fries, too. Let him get an ice cream.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, but he's got to pay because that's the now we're talking expensive. So.
Yeah, that's a good way to close it out. So
so be on the lookout, folks. MCU for Dummies next week. We will have a recap of Black Widow. We both have seen it by early next week. So, you know, think Monday, Tuesday of next week. We're recording on Wednesday the 7th. So assume sometime the 12th or the 13th for a little Black Widow recap. Loki episode 6 season finale comes out on the 14th. We have a standing record date on Wednesday night, so we will try and do that as well. So two MCU for Dummies next week as MCU Phase 4 really starts to heat up. Lou, any parting thoughts? I mean, obviously, the plugs to follow us on Twitter, MCU for Dummies on Twitter. Anything else, buddy?
Come on. What did you expect? That's all I had. Have a good night, everyone. Have a good morning, everyone. Have a good afternoon, everyone. And if you're in the quantum realm, just hang tight.
Hang tight. We'll get you out of there. We'll get a rat on the keyboard and get you out of the van at some point soon. So we appreciate you tuning into the MCU for Dummies. Seriously, leave feedback, tweet us, DM us, mail me, whatever you got to do. And we'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is the MCU for Dummies. I am Dummy Number One, Ken. That is Dummy Number Two, Lou. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.